I love youth night.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See little Aiden get up here and preach. And
amen.
Isaiah, bus kid, used to run around these halls.
Amen.
You think, man,
you ain't ever going to get it. Don't listen to nobody. Now we get him up here preaching.
Yes, he is. Praise the
Lord. Remember Evan, when they first started coming here, just seemed like a young little man, young boy on here. Now he's up here preaching.
Yes.
Remember Noah? Me and Chad hunt together and fish together. I've been around him since he was a kid. I remember he'd be duck hunting and Chad set a box up there in a blind, and he'd be mad at me for telling this, but he'd get up there and he'd stand up and we'd say, "Shoot him, Noah." He'd shoot. His head come back, hit the blind. He'd go to crying. Chad get on to him. "You better toughen up, boy." Now he's up here preaching. And I'm telling you, young men, this world, they're going to paint you a picture of what a man's like. And they're going to throw curveballs at you, and they're going to make you try to conform to the things going on in this world. But I'm telling you tonight, what you did tonight, that's what men do. You stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ in this book, that's what men do. So don't let them get you off track. Don't let them try to deter you, because they're going to do everything they can to do it. But y'all keep standing. Turn to Luke chapter number 9, if you will. While you're turning there, I got to tell you the story. It's been about a month ago, but me and Mallory and the girls going down the road, and I was driving. Mallory was in the passenger seat, and the way we were sitting, Avery was behind me, and Kendall in the middle, and Hallie in the car seat behind Mallory. And I don't know about y'all, but me and my kids, we talk trash to each other. And I know some of you super parents, y'all probably never would do that. Y'all wouldn't. How dare me for doing that? But we do, and it's fun. And I have a good time with it. And we don't say anything crazy, but we have a good time with it. And where Avery was sitting behind me in the rearview mirror, she could only see from about here down. And she goes, "It looks like you don't have any eyes." I said, "That's okay. It looks like you don't have a mouth." And she said, "Well, it looks like you don't have any ears." I said, "That's fine. It looks like you don't have a head." And she goes, "I'm going to turn you into a pillar of salt." And I told Mallory, I said, "You know you're raising your kids in church when your five-year-old threatens to turn you into a pillar of salt."
That's good.
And then Kendall, being the big sister, she goes, "Oh, Daddy, I know. You should preach a message on Don't Look Back." So tonight, for a few minutes, I want to preach on that thought. Don't look back. Don't look back. Luke chapter number 9, we'll begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 57. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And here in this particular portion of Scripture, it's dealing with discipleship. It's not dealing with salvation. And the problem is, a lot of people try to paint it up as that it's dealing with salvation, and it's not. It's dealing with discipleship. And we know, being Bible believers, that discipleship and salvation are two totally different things. See, salvation hinges on one thing, and is that, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Salvation hinges on the fact that you trusted in His blood atonement for your sin, and that's it. Discipleship, however, is you deciding daily that you're going to follow Christ. See, discipleship is our works for Him. That's us doing something for Him because of what He did for us.
Amen.
And see, salvation is Christ's work for us. That's what He did for us. That's His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's His works. And right here in Luke chapter number 9, we have some different men that were faced with a decision to make. And that was, are you going to follow Christ or are you not? And when the ball was put in their court, we find out what they really wanted to do. And here in verse 57, this man said, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And I want to pause right here and I want to say I like his zeal. I like how straightforward he is. I like the fact that he's bold and he just comes up and comes right up and says, I'm going with you, Lord. He didn't count the cost. He didn't look around and say, I wonder who's watching. I mean, what are people going to think of me if I follow Christ? I mean, what are people going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? No, he stepped up and said, I'm going to go with you, Lord. And I think we need more of that.
Amen.
I think we need some more people that don't count the cost and they just step up and they say, I'm going with you, Lord. And we see in the text that Jesus, He knows all about us. That's God manifest in the flesh. He knows our frame. He knows everything about us. And He probably knew that this guy had no idea what he's about to get into. So He says, you sure about that, boy? You sure you want to be about this life? I mean, it says in verse 58 that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but even I don't have anywhere to lay my head. You sure you want to do all that? I mean, it may rain on us. It might snow on us in the wintertime.
Sure.
I mean, you might not have a bed to sleep in. You might not have any food to eat sometimes. It ain't going to be easy.
Right.
But if you want to get in, the water's warm.
Yeah.
And this guy was very zealous. He was making a very bold statement. He had his mind made up. I mean, he said, I'm following you wherever you go, Lord, until the Lord showed him what it was going to be like. And Brother Dennis, I think today in the church, in the body of Christ, in this church, I think we've got a lot of people making bold statements. I think we've got a lot of people saying, I'm going to follow you wherever you go, Lord. I'm going to do whatever it is you want me to do. And they're very bold about it. Until you got some financial reversement.
Yeah. How about that?
Until that job opportunity comes.
Amen.
Until you have some health problems. Until your spouse comes home and she says, I'm leaving. Or he says, I'm leaving. You're going to follow the Lord until your child goes off the rails.
Amen.
I mean, you're going to follow the Lord until there's some trouble in the church.
Amen.
You're going to follow Him until there's some financial trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to follow Him until, you know, you can't figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
You're going to follow Him until times get a little tough. And it's almost like we have some conditional service. It's almost like, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do whatever it is you want me to do. I mean, if you work this, this, and this out, I'm going to serve you. But if you don't, man, I'm out.
Amen.
And when times get tough and we face those trials and we have to depend on Him to work things out, I mean, that's when everybody sees if you're really going to do what you say you're going to do.
Amen.
And when the ball's put in your court, people can see, are you going to do it or are you just going to talk about it?
Yes.
And Paul told the Christians at Corinth, he said, be you followers of me as I am of Christ. And if you want to find out what he went through, it's over there in 2 Corinthians where it talks about how he labored, how he was beaten, how he was stoned, he was shipwrecked in prisons often. All the things he went through for the cause of Christ. You want some of that? You want some of that, Christian? I mean, I don't think we're going to have to face some of the things Paul did, but if we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in 2022 as Holy Hills Baptist Church, we're going to face some things.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
And his response was spontaneous. He said, I'm following you wherever you go, Lord. He had a spontaneous response until he figured out what it was going to entail. So we see the spontaneous response. Now I want you to see the selfish response. I want you to notice here in verse 59, it says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first. It's a bunch of me first. And if we've ever lived in a me first generation or a me first society, man, it's now. I mean, everything's about me. Everything's about I. I mean, what's in it for me? What kind of accolades will I get? What kind of notoriety will I get? What kind of money or what kind of financial kickbacks in it for me? I mean, what are people going to think if I do this? It's all about me. I mean, let's face it, it's human nature. I mean, we want to put ourselves in the best situation we can possibly put ourselves in. We want to try to put ourselves in a position where we think we're going to be successful. And we're selfish. It's all about me. And I'm going to get real personal with you for a minute. And I prayed about it. And I asked the Lord if I need to say it. I don't want to come across as boastful or prideful or arrogant or anything like that. And y'all know me. I'm not. I don't want to be that. I don't want y'all to think that. But there was a time in my life, I was 22 years old. And honestly, I started coming to this church because my dad and Brenda went here. And I'm just being real honest. I like to hear Brother Mark sing and play on the piano. That's why I came. And I've told him that. And honestly, I came here at 22. I didn't know anything about any of these truths we learn about. I didn't know anything about the King James Bible. I remember the day that I figured out Jesus Christ was God. My mind was blown. I mean, I was a grown man. And I started coming here, and I started, the more I came, the longer I came here, I started learning more about it, and I started eating this stuff up. And I started going to the Bible Institute, went on mission trips, so on and so forth. And I really was. I was eating it up. But I got to a point in my life as a 23-year-old man. I'd been dating Mallory since I was 15. And I was ready to settle down and marry her before she found somebody better than me. And I did. I really did. I was ready to get married. I was ready to settle down and start a family. But I knew in order to do that, I had to make some money. And so that's what I did. I chased the money. And at 23, I put aside things that were spiritual and I thought about things that were worldly. And the fastest way I knew to do it was to go work at the steel mill across the river. So that's where I went, and I chased it. And the first year, right out of the gate, the first year of my working career, I made almost $100,000. And it was there, man. Any opportunity you wanted to work overtime, Wednesday or Sunday, I did it. I didn't care. I was chasing the money. Within 2 years, I was working a lead position, a position that people that worked there 25, 30 years wasn't working. And I was moving up. I was moving up fast. Within 5 years, I found myself spiritually dying. I got to the point I no longer prayed, no longer read my Bible. I was no longer in church, man. And I was miserable. But the world would look at me and they'd say, man, that guy's got it going on. New car, new house, whatever. But my wife was bringing kids to church. Where's daddy? He's over there working. And I was selfish. And I got to the point, I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you whithersoever thou goest. I said, Lord, wherever it is you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. He goes, okay, I want you to leave that job. And I said, whoa, 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 Lord, whoa. Hold up now. I mean, I'm a 28-year-old young man. I mean, I'm about to get this supervisor job. If I get this, man, I'm going to be making, you know, real good money the rest of my working career. Don't make me do that, Lord. Let me first get my finances in order. Let me first get everything just right before I leave. He said, okay. If you don't want to leave, I'll find somebody that will do what I want them to do, and you'll be the one missing out. So I said, okay, I'm leaving. And then I left that job, and now I work a job. I don't know how much I'm going to make week to week. But I'm telling you, we've never missed a meal.
Amen.
My bed's just as comfortable as anybody else's.
Yeah.
I got a house that keeps me warm just as much as anybody in here.
Yeah.
My kids have on just the nicest clothes as anybody else's.
Yeah.
He's met our every need. He's met our every want, our every desire. And I can do nothing but stand up here and brag on Him tonight.
Yeah.
Another time, I said, Lord, I'm following You wherever You want me to go. Whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. He said, okay, you want to follow me? Get up there and preach. I want you to start Bible school. I want you to start preaching. And I said, whoa. Hey, I don't like getting up in front of people. I get nervous. I mean, every time I get up here, I feel like I'm going to throw up. And he goes, well, get up there. If you want to follow me, follow me. Get up there and preach. He said, if you don't do it, I'll find somebody that will, and you'll be the one that misses out. And when you get to the point where you realize Christianity and the church It doesn't hinge on whether you do something or you don't do something. If you don't do it, He'll find somebody else that will. If you do do it, you get a chance to glorify Him. You get a chance to exalt Him. You get a chance to bring honor and glory to Him. You get a part. You get a chance to be a part of something bigger than you. Lord, I'm going to follow You. But let me first. And we're selfish. And until you get over yourself, until you get over what you want, you'll never do anything to amount to anything for God. You won't do it. So we see the spontaneous response. We see the selfish response. Now I want you to see the sincere response. And in order to do this, I want you to turn to a passage in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter number 19. We all know the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, the great man of God, a prophet, one we hear about all the time in the Bible. Elisha, his protege, one that followed after Elijah and went on to do twice as many things as Elijah did. And right here in chapter 19, verse 19, this is where Elisha's in his field tending with his oxen. He's in the field laboring, and Elijah comes by and casts his mantle on him. And at that point in time, Elisha had a choice to make whether or not to follow Elijah or not. So 1 Kings 19:19, we'll read, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." And like I said, at that point in time, Elisha had a choice to make. He was either going to follow Elijah or he wasn't. And his initial response, he said, "Let me, I pray thee." He was still thinking about himself. He said, "Let me go back home and kiss mama and daddy bye. Let me get everything back in order at my home. And then I'm going to follow you, Elijah." But the difference between Elisha and these men in Luke chapter number 9 is when Elisha went back home, he got rid of some things.
Yes.
He knew that when he went with Elijah, there was probably going to be some times when they would face some trials. There was going to be some times where things got tough. I mean, it'd be times when they were on the road and he'd go, "Man, I really would just like to go back home and sleep in my bed. It was comfortable. Sure. I go hang around mom and daddy. I can just go back out in the field and I can do my thing with my oxen." And he knew the temptation would be there to go back. So when he went home, he got rid of some things. So now if he did want to go back, when he looks back, all that stuff that he was holding on to is gone. So what are your oxen in your life tonight, church? What are you holding on to right now that you're saying, "Lord, I'm going to serve you, but I really like this back here. I mean, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, but man, my family's back here. Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, but I got some friends back here. They don't really want to serve the Lord, and we've been buddies our whole life. I can't leave them. Lord, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, but I can make a whole lot more money back here." But see, Elisha got rid of some things. What are you going to get rid of? What are you holding on to that's keeping you from doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ? And whatever it is, whatever the Lord's got His finger on, tonight, I think you need to get it out of your life. You need to get rid of it. You need to burn something up tonight. So Brother Mark, you come up here. And I know we joked about it earlier about Lot's wife. But right now, literally, there's a pillar of salt somewhere over there in the Middle East. And Sodom and Gomorrah literally got burned up. See, Sodom and Gomorrah, God had to burn it up. Elisha, he got to go back and burn some things up on his own. Wouldn't it be so much better if the Lord's dealing with you on something for you to just come down here to this altar and burn it up on your own before God has to step in and burn it up for you? Whatever it is, I challenge you tonight, church. Get rid of whatever's holding you back from serving Him. Because at the end of the day, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to follow Christ no matter what comes? Or am I just comfortable sitting where I'm at? Amen.